Good morning, Cascadia. Today is February 2nd, 2015, Tuesday, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is James Henry. We're going to be talking about corporate inversions. And when I say inversion, I do mean inversion. It means taking an enormous amount of wealth and dumping it, tipping that bucket upside down and dumping that wealth into the hands of a very few people waiting in markets at financial centres around the world. James Henry is has come from that world all the way through the gauntlet to wind up as an investigative journalist. And he will be sharing his insight and into the matter at hand, which the Obama administration has been strangely silent on. We have just a couple of headlines before we get to that. Citizens Against LNG won a victory when the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals, LUBA, remanded an appeal filed by petitioners Jan Dilley and Jody McCaffrey. That's what recently happened. Due to the LUBA ruling, citizens will now be allowed to participate and have a voice before the North Bend City Council in a new hearing on the proposed Jordan Cove worker camp permit. The worker camp permit is a new issue that has recently raised its head, and more on that later. Coming up this Saturday, you thought, just when you thought it was safe to go back to sanity, the 9/11 Studies Club hosts guest speaker Valdemar Perez, and as possible, we will get Mr. Perez on the show. Chevron Corporation is significantly slowing spending on the Kitimat liquefied natural gas project in Canada amid a crash in crude prices. They are being very careful. They're tiptoeing cautiously around the fact that pressure from activists had anything whatsoever to do with this decision. And genetically engineered trees may already be planted in a field near you. They eventually are intended to be commercialized in the U.S. without having gone through any regulatory oversight whatsoever, no environmental risk assessment, nothing. On January 13th, the U.S. Department of Agriculture quietly posted its August reply to a letter from ArborGen, the company that's developing these trees. The failure to regulate a GE tree is unprecedented. And the AP reports on the budget the Obama administration sends to Congress today. Obama's six-year, nearly $400 billion public works program would provide upgrades for the nation's highways, bridges, and transit systems, all of which are in a state of disrepair, likes of which we've never seen before. This is like unprecedented. We're going to now speak with James Henry, our guest for today. He is an investigative journalist. He was a former chief economist at the international consultancy firm McKinsey. He's now senior fellow at the Columbia University Center for Sustainable International Investment and a senior advisor with Tax Justice Network. Mr. Henry, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
You're very welcome.
Delighted to welcome you to the KBOO Airways. We're wondering here about the Obama administration's rather cavalier attitude towards corporate inversions. Can you first up explain to listeners what corporate inversion means, and then we'll get into the whys and wherefores of the administration's hands-off policy.
Well, it's very simple. I mean, we had the recent case of Burger King, which was bought by a Swiss-Brazilian billionaire, and Burger King is a legendary, fast food restaurant. It is, about half of its business is in the United States, about half is now offshore. If you move your corporate headquarters from the U.S. to Canada, you stop paying income tax, corporate income tax, on all the non-U.S. business. And you basically are also able to lend a lot of money to the U.S.-based stores and chain, and then do what's called asset stripping. So you basically take out all the profits from the U.S. that's still there. So basically, it's inversion is a fancy way of saying we're going to cut income taxes by moving across the border.
So,
and this is something lots of companies have been getting away with. They're starting to do that aggressively this year. Obama administration has been slow to stop it. In fact, he just introduced a bill yesterday that would actually, you know, save big companies an awful lot of profit tax. You know, we have he's offered to give the companies a 14% tax rate on the $2 trillion they have parked offshore over the last 20 years. So, you know, that's a really big handout. Going forward, he wants to tax this offshore money, so that's a good thing. But, you know, on balance, I think we have both parties basically have been very remiss in their dealing with the sort of outflows from the federal tax system in the corporate area. We have federal corporate income tax as a share of federal revenue is now down to 6%. It's much lower than payroll taxes or personal income taxes.
It's absurdly low. It's there can actually be no way of justifying this from either economic or financial.
No, and I think you know the thing it's really disturbing about it is it's very easy to fix. There's like five words in the 1986 tax bill that was passed 30 years ago that basically opened the doors to big companies like Google and Microsoft and Apple and Pfizer and General Electric parking their intellectual property and their business assets in low tax havens or moving offshore. And then paying themselves royalties tax-free, you know, basically not paying much tax in Europe either. They're getting a lot of criticism for that. But, you know, basically there's been, since the 80s, this is the source of this $2 trillion offshore. Now they want to, having accumulated all this stuff, paid no taxes on it, they want to bring it back at a rate that is a third or less of you know, of what ordinary small business in the United States pays, which is 35% or so. And, you know, it's just outrageous. We don't really have a progressive position on this in Congress. There's, you know, other than Senator Sanders, Carl Levin is retired. You know, Obama is has been really channeling his liberal Republican roots here.
Yeah, yes. It's extraordinary. Yeah. They say they're going to bring it back. They're bringing it back at a ridiculously low rate. And no matter, but it seems that the Obama administration has done nothing but cater to the demands of Wall Street at every step of the way. And yet, still, Wall Street Republicans and continue to pound away and hammer away at him. No president's ever been so accommodating, it would seem.
Oh, I mean, the argument he's made is that, you know, on the margin, we're going to increase the tax rate on the offshore money to 19%. Well, that's fine, but the first phase is, you know, 14% on the $2 trillion. He also argues that he wants to have this fund infrastructure investment, you know, public investment in roads and highways and such. And that's a good idea. That should be done anyway. There's a very high rate of return, you know, 30 to 45% is some estimates on the investments the public sector should be making in these public facilities. It actually helps the private sector be much more productive. But we should be making those anyways. In fact, we should actually be willing to borrow the money to do it because we'll reduce the debt in the long run if these public investments are productive. So it's not necessary to do these tax games to raise money for infrastructure investment. It's just that he has a Republican Congress that is even harder line in terms of increasing debt or, you know, they're calling his proposal here a tax increase because of the 19% rate that he's proposing going forward.
And also because they don't understand the basics of economics and finance, so that's another why they're howling is they simply don't understand how it works and why obviously you would fund these public works programs with bonds and the money would do more good other places.
Well, exactly. We have a very loud corporate lobby. Both parties are, you know, basically fallen prey to the rhetoric. We've had 30 years of tax cuts for corporations and wealthy individuals. It hasn't paid off. The public sector is starved for capital. You know, there are all kinds of public investments we should be making. We should be borrowing. We have the lowest interest rates in history. We should actually be taking on more public finance now in order to do this. And yet we still have the Democrats here preaching more tax competition, this is a race to the bottom. We cut our corporate tax rate, the Canadians reciprocate, the UK reciprocates, Japan reciprocates, and it's just going nowhere. We need to get out of this mode of one round of tax cutting after another and start talking to other countries about what a fair international tax system looks like.
And I would think it seems that the effort is always to sort of, this is the bait, lure corporate headquarters from one place to another, and it's a one trick pony. There's you've got to have some other options, it would seem. I want to ask you about this as far as at street level, where people actually go about their lives. The argument always is that we have to lower taxes on corporations because then they can create jobs. Well, after 30 years since 1986, I suppose, and before, and that hasn't worked. We have
most
decades.
We tried this tax cut for companies on offshore profits in 2004 under President Bush. Companies did indeed get a 5% tax on $312 billion that they repatriated. What happened? They didn't create new jobs. They ended up buying back stock. They were laying off lots of people during this period, 2005, 2007, even before the financial crisis. So, there's just very weak evidence that these tax cuts really drive corporate investment in the right direction. And, I think most independent economists, this isn't a particularly radical perspective. I mean, it is a conservative perspective. You know, we need to be investing in the future, and the public sector is starved for money. It does no good to just hand more money to big companies and hope that they do the right thing.
Well, we've seen that umpteen million times. We're down to our last minute, and I just wanted to get your final thoughts to wrap up the chat. This is wonderful to hear what you've been saying, by the way. But
I think there's lots of opportunities to raise tax revenue if we want to do that. There's $21 to $32 trillion of financial wealth that's private, that's offshore. It's owned by very wealthy people. That's not just from the United States, but the Western world could get serious about cracking down on tax havens and tax evasion. Big companies have been playing all these games in terms of offshore and intellectual property. There's a very concrete proposal in Congress that's sponsored by a handful of senators called the Stop Tax Haven Abuse Act. And, you know, if you want to raise, do something good for the planet, this is a perfect time with
thanks so much.
Prices.
We're flat out of time. More on this later. I'd like to have you back again. Tax Justice Network, have a look at that. This has been a Cascadia Thought Tuesday, February 2nd, 2015. Kate Walsh engineered the show today. Thanks for that, Kate. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Tune in Tuesday night at 6 p.m. to Out Loud, KBOO's queer culture radio show.
Out Loud celebrates and serves the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, questioning, and allied communities.
Out Loud features interviews with local and national community groups, authors, musical talent, and anyone from the queer community.
Connect with us online at kboo.fm/outloud. Tune in Tuesday at 6 p.m. on KBOO Portland.
available. The first episode of the Speciesism podcast with your host,